This is Gene Kansas, host of Sidewalk Radio, where we cover art, architecture, design, development, city planning, and preservation. Each month, we supplement our show with a segment called Art Stroll that highlights the very best in Atlanta's creativity. This month, we're hopping down memory lane to celebrate and remember Joel Chandler Harris's famous Uncle Remus Tales. Joining us is Lane Shakespeare, a relative of Harris and board chair for Harris's historic West End house museum, The Wren's Nest.
The Wren's Nest, since 1984, when our organization took over, we've been preserving the legacy of African-American folklore. And part of that for us includes having storytelling performances. We do that every Saturday at 1 o'clock. People always want to bring their kids, but it's an all-ages kind of thing. And I think the kids will like it, but the adults really love it. And we have five storytellers, the Wren's Nest Ramblers. They perform, I think they've performed over 250 times in the last calendar year. They perform for school groups and community groups throughout the week at the Wren's Nest, but they'll also go out and perform at schools, at churches, at YMCAs, you name it. Basically, if there's a tree to stand under, they'll be there.
Speaking of storytellers, we're happy to have in the studio Curtis Richardson.
So you didn't get to hear me when you came for your tour, huh?
A true Wren's Nest Rambler.
You're a storyteller.
Yes, I have been for about 29 years. The reason I can remember that, I've got to remember when my daughter was born, because I learned storytelling art to keep her awake at night. And she would say, "Dad, that's a boring story. You got anything else?" So I started animating them. And so one day when she got to kindergarten, she went and told everyone that I was a storyteller. And as they say, the rest is history.
What were you doing in the meantime?
Oh, I have, let's see, where was I when I started with this? I was a corporate manager with Dun & Bradstreet. We were, analyzing businesses. That's all. Well, I was a pencil pusher. And I didn't mind it. I didn't know there was such a thing as a storyteller yet. But then I found out they was telling them. And then I didn't have that courage in myself to say I can go out and do it. And so I sit back and watched others. But I could read them. I loved reading them.
Now, it's no surprise to me that you're also a preacher.
Oh, Lane told on me. Yeah. Yes, I am. I think I'm now going on 15, 16 years. Yeah.
How much of storytelling is involved with preaching?
For me, it's everything, because everything revolves around that narrative that I'm going to tell. Now, I may get up there sometime and I may lecture and teach on this, but behind that is a story to tell about a relationship that you need to build. And behind that is a story to tell about what it is that it takes to move from just being an individual out for themselves to become a community. And so, as a preacher, it's not hard to tell a Bro Rabbit stories. As a person, it's not hard to understand how they fit into my life. And so if I can bring both of those into the pulpit, a story about how your life works in a relationship that's greater than you, that you got some invisible hand somewhere that's going to carry you, then that's part of what I do. That's what I like doing as a minister.
What do you see when these kids, what do you see in their eyes and in their reactions when you're telling these stories?
Wonder, amazement. Did he do that? And what I like best when I finish, is that true? I have a story we talk about here. You know, over in the West End, not many people know about Bush Mountain Park. There's a mountain over there, and the mountain is a small mountain, about maybe no more than 50 feet above the level required to be a mountain. But in that mountain, there's a big tree. And on that big tree is a face that's stuck in the tree. And I tell the kids about how that face got in there. And how that face flies out at night looking for something to eat. And then before that, it used to just fly around the area. Because, that part of Atlanta where we are now, that used to be the wilderness part of Atlanta. And on that mountain is called Bush Mountain because a lot of the runaway slaves or Indians lived out that way. And they cut down the woods just to build houses and stuff. And they left this one tree. And this tree now got this face stuck in it, but the way that face got stuck in it, because it tried to eat a woman and this child one night. And that woman tricked that face one night, tricked it into eating red hot coal, thinking it was eating hot pecans, you know, roasted pecans and peanuts, and thought it was eating that. It turned out to be red hot cold, and the next thing you know, it was flying so fast trying to put the fire that the belly didn't see that big tree in front of it. It didn't see that big tree until it became a part of that big tree. And when I finished, the kid says, "That's true." I said, "Go look and see." And whatever you do, don't you dare let that the head out of the tree now. You know who will be the first meal.
You've been listening to Art Stroll. I'm Gene Kansas. Make sure to visit the Wren's Nest in person, where storytelling takes place every Saturday afternoon. And be sure to tune into Sidewalk Radio the last Monday of each month. This month's show explores freedom, the journey from the Civil War to civil rights.